Greetings, adventurers, and welcome to Geekly Inc.'s Random Encounters, Adventures of Norhal, Curse of Strahd. I am your DM, Joshua Scalf, and with me today is Matt Sperlin. Matt is muted.
Classic Matt.
Matthew Morris.
It's pretty random. By bookshelves or better. I powered through the main feed in about 3 months and started on these episodes to fill my time at work. I'm finding out that they really like Tim. It's just Harper. It's just Harper I don't like. Thrifty wow. Sounded so sad during Durance, but it still sounded like fun. Keep the great content. Loving it so far. You are so far behind. 5 stars.
All right, let's try this again. Matt Sperlin. We can. Tim Lanning.
Hey, everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Harper's good.
Harper is good. Harper's my favorite. And Howard Tarpley.
I thought we were playing Magic Gathering tonight, so I got all my cards out. And I was really cool.
Did you bring your control deck?
It is actually a mill deck.
Oh my gosh.
Gross.
What a maniac.
We only do black-white tokens in this house.
Oh, dang. It's a solid green deck.
All right. So, we are playing Dungeon World as
Dungeon
part
World.
Of this new Random Encounters campaign that we've started. To the listener, there's been no gap in time since we've played. For us, people in the real world living currently, it's been a 3-month gap, so I don't expect any more players to remember.
It's almost summer now.
Like two.
It is almost summer. This episode will be out after GeeklyCon.
Oh my god.
That's true. Yeah.
But we're getting
much more caught up.
That is true.
Until we do our next recording.
It's only gonna be 4 episodes.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. So for those who are, I guess, just tuning in who have not listened to episode 1 and 2, you're definitely gonna want to do that because this is not like Dungeons and Dragons whatsoever.
No, episode 0 and 1, please.
Episode 0 and 1. Damn it, you're right. All right, start the cast over. I fucked up.
When I was setting up the Twitch, I was like, this is going to be confusing once we get to like 60 or 25 or something.
Just as a brief recap to what Dungeon World is, the entire pathos and mantra behind Dungeon World is that we want to see the characters do amazing things. We want to see them struggle together, and we want to see them go on adventures because there are still so many places left to explore. And my agenda as a GM is to portray a fantastic world, fill the characters' lives with adventure, and play to find out what happens. So do you guys want to go over your characters really quick just to reintroduce them to both the people in the stream and also to each other in case you've forgotten?
Yeah, definitely. I'm playing Mortimer Thumble. He is a human thief. He's probably like 6'2 or so. So, again, as Matthew said, it's been 7 months since we played. So anything that we say today, right, is canon. Anything that we said last episode was, you know, made in haste. We're foolish, you know. He's probably like 6'2", kind of lithe in body. Let me look at the body eyes. He has criminal eyes. He has messy long hair, and he has dark leather outfit. He has like a very angular face with like I kind of want him just to be a very stereotypical thief. I like to play very stereotypical characters. I don't like to get too complex with it. I like to play wizard. I like to play, you know, fighter. I like to play thief. So that's what he looks like. Think of any kind of shit-eating grin, thief, rogue, leaning against a wall with their arms crossed as they smirk knowingly. That is Mortimer Thumble.
There's something to love about the stereotypes, though.
Yeah, I love
prototypical characters.
I love, stereotypes are so much fun because I think since they're so specific, I think the specificity of them allows you to get very broad in a weird way.
Yeah, I agree. Who wants to go next?
I'll go. I play Duke Silver, a paladin, just a stereotypical paladin. He looks like Sid Curtis. He has kind eyes, you know. He's real nice. He's big. He's got that big dad bod. You know, he's 6'8", about 350 pounds. And he also has a silver mullet that goes all the way down to his ass.
Now, remind me, Sid Curtis is the big beef boy from Fullmetal Alchemist,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And actually, he doesn't have the facial hair like Sig does.
Okay.
Yeah. No facial hair at all, or?
Yeah, no facial hair at all. He's clean shaven.
Gotcha. Okay. But he has a mullet, you said.
Yeah. He wears your stereotypical paladin armor. You know, he has a sword and a shield, but on his right glove, right gauntlet, it's actually, I believe, white for Torm, and it has a little eye on the back of it. And he takes really good care of it. And, you know, everything else looks tattered and torn in his, but the gauntlet's clean, sparkling all the time.
All right. Perfect. Matt.
Matt
just got out.
Oh, he's gone.
He died.
Well, that happens sometimes here in the, I almost said Ravnica in Rivendell? Where are we? Ravenloft.
Yeah, he just, Matt's gone. Matt's consumed by the mists.
Yeah, that's
damn.
Consumed by the
this
mists.
This is a deadly game. You die, you die in Dungeon World, you die for real. While we wait for him to come back, Matthew.
Hello. I'm playing Constance Richards. She goes by Connie. She is a ranger. We'll say she's like 5'8". She's lithe. She has sharp eyes. And she wears like a khaki long sleeve shirt with like a lot of pockets on it. But she like rolls up the sleeves above her elbows. She's got like a white undershirt. She's got like shorts on, but they're like khaki, like cargo pants. She's got tall socks and so you got a pair of nondescript tan boots that she wears. She's got a pet raccoon named Bandit. Oh, she also wears a campaign hat. And you know, she's a smart cookie, and she can do the nature stuff really well, unless I roll.
Okay. Perfect. And Matt, welcome back. You made it out of the mists. You didn't die in the game or for real.
Thank you. My cat turned off my computer.
What?
Which is a fun feature of this new computer that I have, that it has a power button big enough that a cat can turn it off.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Is it like bright and glowing too?
That is correct.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah,
that's great. We can rip it from the Twitch. Just start now.
Okay. 9:25-ish?
Yeah. Let me know when you're good to go again, Matt.
I am good to go whenever I do have Audacity backup and running.
All right. Well, go ahead and start recording. Then we'll do a clap just to help Ty.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to die.
I'm so sorry, Ty. So sorry.
On go, just to keep it consistent. 3, 2, 1.
Matthew!
I didn't know we were all doing it. I thought you were just getting him to start again.
That's okay. Let's do it again, I think.
Yeah, this is just to help sync it up, because we're all still recording, and Matt has to jump. Anyway, 3, 2, 1. All right.
Perfect.
You don't know how many messages I've sent to Ty apologizing. Mm-hmm. I think he's blocked me now.
And he's always so polite and nice to us about it.
I know. Nice. I think he's like, damn it, this is the 300th message I've gotten tonight.
Okay. So we've gone over the characters. So as a quick recap of what happened last time, and then from here on.
And Jennifer has extreme.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Real life happening right now with work, working like 30 hours the past 2 days. So she's not here, unfortunately.
Yes. But she is playing Ember Arcanthus, an elf wizard. And she got in a spot of trouble at the end of last episode, but I'll cover that in just a second. So as a quick recap, the players all come for this is a set in a time period well before anything else that has happened in the Greetings Adventurers podcast proper. This is way back in the timeline and at the northwesternmost part of Drunkeros, where in the modern day Norhal would be located, there is just a large patch of mist that covers an entire region of the world.
That's too scary.
It's spooky as hell. People have often come up with different rumors about what could be in the mists, because all people do know is typically if people try to go adventuring in there, they don't come out. And if they do, they're kind of just gibbering mad at that point of the crazy, horrible things that they've seen. But like any adventurer would be, people are fascinated by the nature and the existence of the mists themselves. So they, of course, go to explore, and that is where our characters come into play. They were explorers who, for reasons that we didn't, you know, firmly establish last time, decided we wanted to go into the mists. Maybe they were looking for something. Maybe they didn't believe that it was that dangerous, or just there was, it was there. So they decided to go explore. We opened up with the adventurers waking up after camping for a long night, and they, this is the first time they've come more or less online since they've entered the mists. They realize they have been traveling for several days, very Annihilation style. Tim called it literally immediately. They realize that they have been using their supplies, their bags are packed the way they would, but they don't remember it. They've been traveling for about 5 days and don't remember it. They also didn't enter the mists together, and they've more or less kind of made this de facto party by accident.
Interesting.
So while trying to get their bearings, oh, and the other thing to note here is that while they are in the forest, the mists themselves, everybody kind of feels like shit, for lack of a better word. Everybody kind of feels very sluggish, hungover, really bad brain fog, headaches, and it's just kind of pervasive around everything where they are at.
Sounds like GeeklyCon, am I right, everybody? Am I right?
Hey. More like post-con. So, as they are trying to get their bearings, Connie has her, is it a raccoon friend, Matthew?
Yeah. Named Bandit.
Yeah. Her raccoon friend Bandit go out and try and look around, see if Bandit can find anything of note, because Connie can kind of communicate with Bandit, who is stubborn, I have noted.
You should not have noted that.
I, of course, noted that. You told me specifically.
Yeah, but
you said choose as many, you get a choice of however many weaknesses as you want. You specifically put stubborn.
No, I have to choose as many weaknesses as its instinct.
That's true, but you still pick stubborn, so I'm rolling with that.
Well, it could have also
unless
been.
Unless you want to change it.
Frightening or lame. Who wants a
I don't want to see a frightening
who wants
raccoon.
A lame raccoon? Or a savage raccoon. Well, savage raccoon might be.
Yeah. Savage has been great.
Yeah.
Savage Raccoon's a good name for like a post-punk band. Anyway, as Bandit is exploring out in the woods, Bandit tore off like a bat out of hell, passed the entire group and ran. And Connie instinctively just knew, time to go, picked up all of her stuff, started running. And you were set upon by, I don't remember how many because it's been months. We're going to say 8. 8's the good number. That's the canon number now. 8 massive dire wolves with glowing red eyes. Mm-hmm. I remember Duke Silver stood in defense of Mortimer, I believe, and Connie and Ember took off running. And I don't remember, what was Ember? Ember, not Emberlash. Names. What was Roxar doing as they ran away? Let's go ahead and establish that. Was Roxar standing to fight, or did Roxar just take off after Connie and Ember?
Roxar, as I recall, I have a note here at least, that Roxar took off with them and summoned a flame whip to try to scare off the wolves.
Perfect. Okay. And the last thing that we saw as we closed out the episode last time was Ember, while running, tried to cast a magic missile, but just due to the nature of the spell, it ended up being unstable, and it was not quite as potent enough to just knock over the wolf while it was running. It kept running for a bit and crashed into a tree, knocking it down. And the last thing, and we'll actually enter into this episode right here, the last thing that Connie and Roxar, you watch Ember as she throws off her bag to just to get a little bit of a boost of speed, drop some weight. She slides under the tree and she just keeps running. And then with the nature of the mists around you being so thick, y'all lose sight of her. She's gone.
Uh-oh.
So I guess first with this, Roxar, what are you doing right now? You have two dire wolves that are kind of nipping right at the heels of you and Connie.
Have they reacted at all to me summoning a whip made of fire?
Absolutely not. They're still bearing down on you.
These mother truckers.
Hey, birds.
I'm going to do, and I did actually note down the move that I had changed.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. Zuko style, we are canonically changing to, and I'm going to use this right now, come on baby, light my fire.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That actually does sound familiar. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to make my flame whip turn into a big wall in front of these wolves to try to cut them off.
Now, for those listening at home, Zuko style or let me light your fire is an ability that allows Roxar to roll and bend flame to their will. So go ahead and roll. What'd you get?
Plus wisdom. That was a 10.
10. So that is a total success. So what that means is that it does as you command, and it takes the shape and movement you desire for as long as it has fuel to burn. So you being in the middle of the forest, there are kind of old dry leaves like underneath you that you guys are crunching on as you run along. I'm imagining Roxar just kind of like turns around real quick and just like puts up this giant flame wall like right between you and the wolves that are running.
Yeah.
Okay. So your damage die is a D8, right? So yeah, you put up that flame wall and you keep running, and the two dire wolves that are chasing you, they do pass straight through the fire that it is, but that does hurt them. So go ahead and I guess roll a D8 for both of them.
There it is. That's a D8, pretty sure. 3.
All right. Is that 3 for both?
And a 4.
Okay. So yeah, they are hurt. This actually does slow them down just a little bit, though. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to go actually shut them up real quick. I'm so sorry, guys. Give me a second.
And I'm going to go grab my dice that my cats are stealing. Beep, boop, boop,
beep. Oh my gosh. Your cats are monsters.
Tim, are your cats monsters?
They're rascals. I don't know if you could hear Laser. He was downstairs screaming. I don't know if Jennifer got home or something, but yeah, definitely scream hours for them. I don't know where Lucy is. Sometimes they'll just find a place. Lucy will sometimes just like plop herself in random areas, but I want to make someone have a bad time on my turn, but I don't know how to do that. I don't think you can parlay either, you know what I'm saying?
You can you can you roll, like, have a bad time?
There's interfere, but I think at this point I don't wanna necessarily do anything too wild, but Joshua, you are back. Matthew.
I am back.
Or Matt, you are back.
Okay. So the dire wolves that are following Connie and Roxar, they are burned. They're still up and just bearing down on you, but this did slow them a bit, buying you a bit of space. They're not right about to bear down on you. Mortimer, Duke. Duke, you got bit on the arm by one of the dire wolves. Your thick armor was able to prevent some of the damage that came through to it. Mortimer, what are you doing? As Duke is between you and, let's go ahead and say, 3 dire wolves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Jurassic World situation where just Duke is holding him back.
Okay, yeah. I would probably try to. Is there like a stealth check idea? I know that we're kind of out in the open, but I basically want to take the opening that Mortimer, you know, who am I to not take advantage of the gift he gave me by.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I want to try to slink away as they are sort of. Messing with him. What do I do?
I think this would be a defy danger roll, and okay. You're trying to get. I think that would fall under you are trying to get out of the way by acting fast rather than trying to power through or anything.
Yes, so I agree.
Roll defy danger plus your dex mod.
Okay. What are the dice again? I'm sorry.
It's 2d6 plus whatever relevant modifiers you have.
Okay. So my dex is a plus 2. So yep. I roll 2d6 and add 2. Oh, a total of a 5. A 1, a 2, plus 2. So 5 total.
So, okay. First thing, go ahead and mark an experience point down.
Yes.
And I will go ahead and let you know what happens. But first, Duke, what are you doing?
Well, Duke, he's going to continue to try to fend off the wolves, keeping him from everyone. So he's going to swing at him.
Now, are you trying to... Okay, you're going to swing at them. Are you, while you're doing this, are you trying to just stand strong between them? Or are you, like, trying to, like, back up and make some kind of ground as you're doing this?
I'm kind of just
for my own knowledge.
I'm just kind of standing there because I figured if I can distract him, I can get the others away and then I could catch up later. That's kind of his mentality. He doesn't want the weaker ones to get hurt.
Okay. Yeah, that's perfectly fair. Go ahead and roll a hack and slash, though. That's what you were working on there with one of them. Yeah. We'll just say you're going for the one that's directly in front of you.
Yeah, the one that's on my arm.
Okay. Yeah, perfect.
Let's see. Well, hack and slash is... I got 4 plus... What do I add to that?
Hack and slash, it's plus your strength modifier.
So I got a 6.
A 6. So also go ahead and mark experience. and I will let you guys know what happens. So,
isn't 7 like the average roll or something like that?
7 is the average roll, yes.
We're not doing good.
Yeah, like statistically, your roll should all statistically your rolls are most likely to land between 7 and 9.
Yeah,
which is why like it's the partial success in this game. But anyway, yeah. So Mortimer, you actually do you think you see an opening and you actually do start running. You bolt and you turn around and you start sprinting. However, what you didn't see is that there was another one that was kind of off behind a tree on the other way, and it starts following you. It is absolutely after you right now.
Oh, my
and
gosh. It's big and gross.
Yeah, it's big as hell, and it's gaining on you.
Oh, no.
Now, Duke, as you are standing there, you are trying to swing at this dire wolf that is on your arm, and then another one jumps up and just rakes its massive claws along you, and it's going to deal... 4 damage to you as it just rakes its claw. So take that damage 3. And subtract your armor from that number.
So I take 1 damage.
I think you have 2 armor, if that sounds right.
Yeah. I have 3 armor. I have a shield.
3 armor? So you only take 1 damage. Your thick armor is still enough to prevent you from taking the brunt of it. But as this wolf claws you, you get distracted for a minute, and a second wolf, the third wolf that was in front of you, just barrels past you, kind of rams you, and you kind of stumble to the side, and it is also after Mortimer now.
No!
Ah!
So Mortimer now has 2 massive dire wolves on their tail. Connie, what are you doing?
Do you think I have? How much health do you think I have, by the way?
You should have a maximum of...
It says 6 plus con.
6 plus your constitution score, so that is 19. You have 19 hit points.
What? That's so many.
I have 20. I mean... Keep it in mind that, like, the max hit points ever in this game, literally ever, is, like, 28. Like, yeah. it's real low, dog.
I have 4.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, salamanders are squishy.
Yeah, very, very squishy.
Connie, what are you doing?
Okay, so...
Now, there are wolves kind of all around you. You've watched Ember disappear. You've watched Roxar put up a wall of fire to slow some of the ones following you down. I guess, what are you hoping to do at this point?
So, if I was to... 1 minute while I look at the things I can do. If I was to, like, discern realities, hypothetically, could I, like, appraise the situation? Because it's a bunch of chaos right now. Not that I actually want to roll. I'm just kind of curious what's actually happening. So there's how many wolves and we're
so
I'm trying to figure out if we're making a stand or not at this point.
At your immediate vicinity, you count. Let's go ahead and say 4 wolves around you that are following you. There are 2 directly behind you and Roxar that are following that ran through the flame wall. They have fur still kind of singed and burning in a couple patches. And then there are 2 more off to either side of you that they're a ways off. Like they are not like right next to you running, but they're in the vicinity right now. You could make a discern realities roll if you wanted to try and ask some questions that are relevant to this situation.
Nah, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to I'm gonna do something else. Oh, I flipped to the wrong page. I'm gonna let me make sure I get this right. Am I far enough away that I can use volley?
toward one of the ones off either side.
One of the ones.
Actually, yeah, I think pick any of them. Yeah, that are say around
the,
you. Yeah,
the ones that are singed. And I'm gonna be like, Bandit, go get him.
Can Bandit attack?
Yeah.
He's
Bandit
can
attack.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right, now hang on.
Wait. Can he?
I don't. Volley is when you shoot your bow and arrow.
Yeah. Because I have
your
a bow.
Animal right, but how are you using Bandit to go as your volley?
I'm supposed to be able to. Well, I want to command him. Oh, I guess he's not trained in fight monsters.
I don't think he's trained in combat.
Damn. That's too bad, because I wanted to add his ferocity to my damage. Why did I give him ferocity? I feel like I did a bad job making this.
Perfect. We'll deal with it. Okay. Flawed characters are
figure
beautiful.
It out.
Okay. So I'll shoot the wolf.
Okay. You'll shoot the wolf. Yeah. Go ahead and roll for a volley.
I don't add anything to this, right? I just roll.
Roll plus dex.
Plus dex. Like, just straight up plus my dex?
Your dexterity modifier. So
I got it. 32.
Okay.
The way it works is if a score tells you to, so like your hit points, it tells you to add the base number plus
constitution. I promise we've been playing this recently. So
if it says the whole word, you add the full score. If it's just
okay.
dex in this case, it's a modifier.
Okay. I got a 7.
You got a 7. Okay, that's a partial success. So go ahead and pick one from the option below. You have to move to get the shot in placing you in danger. You have to take what you can get. You get minus 1d6 damage, or you have to take several shots, reducing your ammo by one.
I would say, given the situation that I'm like moving and shooting, that I would have to reduce my ammo by one.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
I probably have to take a couple of shots because I'm kind of like going over my shoulder to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and do that.
I need to figure
out. So go ahead and roll damage.
Now I have 2 ammo. Ooh, I do not want to write with pen. Sorry. And for damage, it's a D8. Okay. The hell, not D6s? What is this? I got a 7.
7, your arrow strikes true and it nails the one that is slightly ahead that is following right behind you, nails it right in the neck, and it slides into the ground and just drops like a sack of bricks.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. You are still running. There are still 3 just bearing down on you. Roxar, I'll get back to you in a second. I want to touch on what Mortimer and Duke are doing right mm-hmm. now. I guess Duke, one just bolted past you. Mortimer, you have 2 right on your ass.
So I want to use, let me look it up real quick. Disguise. It's a level 8 ability. I'm hacking the game. I put my game shark in. I'm also using connections and brewer. So, just kidding. Golly beans. So if there was one, Joshua, I would have thrown my dagger, but now that there's 2, mm-hmm. I think what your best friend Tim Lanning is gonna do. I think I just want to run, but I want to try to like climb a tree. Can I do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Go
ahead.
Is that also
a defy danger, or
that would be a defy danger in this case because you're acting despite an imminent threat. So yeah, your imminent threat in this case is 2 big ass wolves right behind you,
Joshua. Is there a bonus in this game for rolling a 1 and a 1 together at the same time? Is it like a weird crit? Is it like so bad it's good type situation? Or what's the story
here?
Well,
you know what? Funny that there is a bonus. The bonus in this case is one of the wolves starts biting your leg.
Wait. Didn't we end the last session with me rolling a double 1? Is that what happened? And then you said we would go over what happened next. Not that it happened.
Oh,
we'll pretend
shit.
Like that didn't happen.
Yeah, we'll pretend it didn't happen. That was so long ago.
What happened was your double one affected Ember, and now she's gone. Thanks.
Oh
Matthew.
Yeah. I mean, this would be a different situation with an extra body.
Yeah. Okay. So I get attacked. You said how much damage?
Yeah. You are bit on the old leggy, and you're gonna take 4 damage minus whatever armor you have, if any. I don't think you actually have any armor. Let me see.
It's not on my character sheet.
Yeah, you did not. Oh, no, you have leather armor, so you have 1 armor. Sorry, I did not write that down on that first page.
Nope, not your fault at all. I meant to update my character sheet, and I didn't, and now I can't find it. All right, so I have 1 armor. So
you take 3 damage.
3 damage. Thank you so much.
Yep. So it is also on your leg. You're not able to get up that tree. And then there's another wolf making its way towards you. Duke, what are you doing?
I'm screaming, by the way, like loud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like bloody murder. You're just hearing screaming.
Oh, yeah. Not
everywhere.
Dignified
at
all.
What mana costs are those wolves?
The
mana cost?
The mana cost?
Yeah, the converted mana cost. Is it less than 3?
It's a hate bears deck, so between all of them it's 16, you know.
Well,
I only do
I
two two twos.
What are you guys talking
anyway,
about?
Magic the Gathering joke. Anyway, what are you doing, dude?
Well, seeing how
God
Mortimer,
damn you.
How close is Mortimer to me? Is he like just right behind
Mortimer,
me still?
I would say within 30 feet or so. I mean,
okay, so he's a little
Mortimer
too far
started running when the tube got right past you.
Since he's a little too far from me, I'm gonna try to finish off one of the or try to clear these wolves off me, off Duke, so that he can, okay, you know, get after Mort and save him, because mm-hmm, he knows Mort's a coward.
Hey!
So
opportunist.
He's gonna take another swing at these wolves and try to chop one of their heads off. How does a 10 do for do to you do?
10 is a complete success. So go ahead and you deal your damage to the enemy, and you're going to avoid their attack. So while you bring your sword down on it, it tries to get around and bite you at the same time, but you duck your head back at the last second. So go ahead and roll your damage against this.
Take this, you foul beast. I did 2.
Okay, now at your option, you can do an extra 1d6 damage, but it does open you up to danger by doing so.
Well, somehow Mortimer's in danger. I'm going to try to do 1d6 of damage.
Okay, do it.
How does 6 do?
That, okay. As you're like, oh god, that first slash didn't quite do it. So you reach back again, and it's one of those like wide, you see it coming a mile away slashes. Like anyone worth their salt should be able to dodge it. This wolf doesn't understand conventional fighting techniques, though. It's, you hate to see it happen. And you run this dire wolf clean through, and it is off your arm currently. You still have one in front of you, and the ones back harassing Mortimer. Roxar, what are you doing? Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. How's Connie faring right now?
I'm fine.
Watched Connie. Yeah, she just shot down one of the wolves that ran through your fire. She's doing pretty good, all things considered. You did just hear Mortimer scream, so you assume that things aren't great at the moment, yeah, but in your immediate vicinity, things are okay.
I feel like your Jurassic World reference is a good one, because I'm the coward that ran away and gets eaten first while the other people are like standing together and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I am going to go chase after one of the wolves that I'm hearing by the screaming.
Okay, so you're gonna turn around and go back towards the screaming.
Yeah. Oh, when you're screaming, I want to help.
Okay.
So running towards the screaming, how far are they? Far enough away that I get in melee range and could whip, or is it going to take a round?
Now I will say this: if you're gonna run back towards the screaming, before you even get there and can attack those wolves that are all the way back there, because you have crossed a bit of a distance. Mm-hmm. Now remember, there's still one wolf behind you that went through the flames that has not been shot down. So if you're gonna try to get past that, I would say that's a defy danger roll first.
Yeah, you're right. I should probably kill that wolf first.
Yeah.
All right. I will hit that wolf with a whip.
Okay.
Which I think that's still just hack and slash, right?
That would be hack and slash. If you're gonna turn around and like stand and engage with it, absolutely a hack and slash.
Is the song Whip It playing in
let's see that. How does a not good? How about how does a 2 sound?
Mark experience, my friend. And I will go ahead and tell you what happens right now, actually. You turn around and stand to fight, and the wolf just fucking pounces on you. You turn around, you think you're ready, gonna get you, and it just jumps on you, and it is just clawing you up, and it does 10 damage minus whatever armor you have.
10 damage?
10 damage.
Oh my god.
I mean, in D&D world, I am dead. Like,
wait,
dead,
what?
Dead.
Wait, no, there's no way. You haven't taken any damage yet.
I have 4 hit points.
No, you have 4 plus your constitution score. You have...
Oh, it's the long one.
It's the long one.
I was
no,
like,
no, I would not put y'all up against these if it were that. I don't want to one-shot y'all. That's
all
insane.
Right.
I was hoping you would one-shot us.
I'm very, very close to being dead, then.
I have 3 characters already.
So, at the moment, it is a bad situation. Like, all of you, you know, you're all in a bad way right now. Duke, one of the wolves that was kind of, that was still directly in front of you, kind of bearing down, the one that clawed across your chest, it sits actually for a second, and then it just howls. It just howls very loudly. Go ahead, Tim, give us that Foley work real quick.
Me?
Yeah, you're so good at the howling. Great, great. And upon hearing that, Roxar, the wolf that is standing on your chest right now, it actually stops clawing and biting. Connie, the two wolves that are kind of running off to your sides, they kind of slow down to a slow canter before they also sit down. And even you, Mortimer, the wolf that is biting your leg and the other one bearing down, they kind of slow to a stop and they back up for a second. That same wolf howls again. And then they all like slowly turn around and retreat into the mists. And just as quickly as they came, they're gone.
Huh.
So just as a quick question, how's everybody fucking feeling after that?
Duke's
like,
feeling great.
In character, like, how are these characters, like, what's your reaction to this?
That was quite a tussle.
So, like, I had a wolf that was eating my leg, right? And then...
Yes.
It just left.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Mort is 1,010% shocked and terrified and frazzled about the whole situation. Not been a great day.
Not been a great day. Pretty bad altogether.
Yeah. He's not saying anything. He's just like stunned for a second. And then he's like, my leg! Well, one of you fools! I'm bleeding out here!
Duke would go over and check on his leg to see how bad it actually is.
If you take it, please cut it in a way that is astoundingly
nerves. I don't think we need to cut your leg. Just take it.
Calm your nerves. It isn't that bad.
I walk over. We can carterize it.
I'll hold him down.
Don't let that thing touch me.
It's the safest thing to do. The best.
Now, Connie, you did witness all these wolves back off. Now, do you...
See,
I guess stop with them and rejoin the group, or are you still sprinting in the direction you're sprinting?
I would still be running, but I would go over to where the other sentient creatures are. I thought I could do this to discern reality, but I can't. I kind of want to know, like, if this is normal behavior. Like, is this something I've ever witnessed before?
That would absolutely actually be a discern reality.
It's not one of the questions. It's on the list.
That would fall under either what's about to happen, what should I be on the lookout for, what here is useful or valuable to me. That's kind of an open one. That could be
really in control here.
Yeah, I mean, any of those really could apply.
Son of a bitch. I got snake eyes.
God.
Break those fucking dice. Okay, so mark experience. Let's go ahead and do that. And what we're going to go ahead and do is, after everything you've seen, everything
that's
happened,
even
though... Have I had an
aneurysm yet from all these failed rolls?
Even though you've come out pretty well, I'm going to go ahead and say we're going to give you the condition of... let's go with confused. Like, you're kind of, like, almost frantic. You're confused. So what this does is a little box on your character sheet under wisdom where it says confuse. You get a -1 to any rolls using wisdom until you clear that condition, which that just happens as it would happen naturally in the story, as, you know, when you are no longer confused. But yeah, I think it's fair to say after everything that you're probably pretty frantic right now, right?
Yeah. It's definitely not broken. What's the word I'm looking for? It's like my reality was shattered. This is
a little bit.
This isn't how the good Canis Lupus is supposed to be acting in the wild.
I will go ahead and give you this, even with that role. You know, that's not normal for wolf behavior. one, for them to just like out of nowhere do that for wolves this big to go for, I guess, your kind of prey, that doesn't seem normal. The fact that they just backed off like that definitely doesn't seem normal. Yeah, it is unusual up and down. You do know that, like, for a fact. So what are you guys doing?
I'm screaming and trying to make...
I'm trying to calm everybody.
I want to aid our lizard boy. Does he need aid? Because he got all bit up.
Yes.
Yeah.
He definitely does. I don't believe you have any healing abilities, though.
Oh. Oh, I also don't have any bonds with him.
Not yet, anyway. But aiding is more, it's a way of giving kind of pseudo-advantage in Dungeon World. You can add, like, if you help someone that you have a bond with, if you aid them, they can get plus one on whatever they're doing. So, we will cover bonds at the end of today's session. But yeah,
I would like to, I guess, and I would like to make a lean-to to put him in so that he can recover in a bed of leaves.
You guys are going to just go ahead.
Okay,
and
fine. I will track, to see if I can find any sign of Ember Acanthus.
I'm going to go ahead and say, you don't even need to roll. You have gotten turned around at this point. You don't need, like, you found the tree where, you know, you found her lost pack there, where she abandoned that, where the tree fell over. But just kind of the nature of these woods and everything, you don't know which direction she went. Like, you don't see any tracks from where she was. She's just gone.
Josh, I almost had a sick bed. Why'd you take that away from me?
I didn't take it away. If y'all want to camp out in the woods, if y'all want to camp out in these,
what are you doing?
If you want to camp out in these murder woods, yeah, go right ahead, my friend.
Mortimer, can you walk?
I don't think so.
Well, then get in the backpack. I'll carry you.
Okay.
I throw him in my back, and I just kind of tie him around with a piece of rope because I'm going to use one of my adventuring things.
Oh!
Since you cut them in half, I got rope.
Okay, yeah, perfect. So for those listening at home, the adventuring gear in this game is very general. You have 5 charges to say, oh, I totally have this piece of equipment in there. Then you mark off a charge, and then you just have rope.
And you cut it in half.
How does healing work in this system?
So healing works whenever you're able to take a full day's rest, you can recover your hit points at full through that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it is through like healing potions or healing spells. Now, I don't know, Paladin. Yeah, Paladins, you do have Lay on Hands, so you do have a healing option available.
I just feel like he's not that hurt.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I think he's being
now,
private.
I will
like,
say, Roxar's fucked up.
And then, well, I guess we would all check on everybody else, because it's been a hectic battle, so...
Yeah, that is true.
As I'm carrying Mortimer on my back, how is everyone else doing?
Can I take out, like, one of my charges is, like, a flask? I mean, that's a classic
rope. Yeah, absolutely.
Thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would have it for water or booze in this case, or just whatever, yeah. Could be oil.
He drinks,
who knows? Or booze.
What's a good but flammable booze for future...
Everclear.
So, like, no, he said alcohol. Good. No, there's a high proof rum that you can get.
This. Okay, yeah, I'll just do high proof rum. Just two birds with one stone. It like, oh, and I pour a little bit on my wound because that's as I learned, and I pass some down to Mort.
You're Mort.
I'm Mort. I'm an idiot. Silver Duke Silver.
Yes.
I pass you some of my high-proof rot rum.
Ah, I do not drink, sir. No. But thank you.
Okay. Thanks, you saved my life.
And I continue to see how everybody else is doing. Check on the lizard, who's been eyeballing my hair.
I do get off his shoulders after a second. I get embarrassed.
You've never been embarrassed before.
Good, my good Joshua.
Yes.
In the inaugural episode of this, I use my adventuring gear to say that I have a compass.
Okay,
I look at it and see which direction where we have gone in relation to where we were before.
spinning.
Can I make a determination? Can I make another discern realities check?
Yeah, absolutely, my friend. Do it. Do it. Do it. Let's see how far this rabbit hole goes.
Did we leave anything behind at the camp? We left like everything, right?
Three tents.
God damn it.
Y'all were packing up, and that's when it hits. So everybody just grabbed their shit and ran.
Well, the good news is I didn't roll snake eyes. Bad. The bad news is I rolled a 3 plus 1, a 4.
So what we're going to go ahead and do is your compass is still just a spinning. You're not able to get it. And what do you think in this case? I'm thinking at this point, maybe you're, in addition to being confused, you might be a little bit shaky now. Cause the fact that now this, nothing's going
maybe
right.
Maybe hopeless. Like nothing is how it seems. Like I'm in like an absolute nightmare. This is just like a fever dream of badness. Got a cold sweat going.
So I will leave
there's
this to you.
There's a sentient lizardman who is all sexy, who's wounded.
I'm questioning things about myself that I didn't know before. It's crazy.
Is that your bond? My raccoon is fine, but I'm feeling bad.
So I will leave this up to you. I'm thinking what would be fair in this case. You'd either be shaky just because you are, in addition to being very confused, getting scared.
I am shaky.
Either that or scarred under charisma. Like you're... It would just add on to the panic, so I'll leave that up to you.
I'll say I am shaky.
Okay. That fits. What about the rest of you? Are you guys still resting? Have you decided to set off just somewhere at this point?
I think so. If I need to carry him.
Do you need a ride? You guys walk, and you walk, and you walk, and you walk, and it feels like you're passing the same tree over and over again. It is... Again, with the way the mists are here, y'all still aren't thinking with a super clear head. You can't tell. It all looks the same. And after a while, you actually come to a clearing and you're on like the bank. Like it's a steep bank and then there's a road right below you. So you're like standing like right at the precipice on like a small little encampment. And it's only like a 2-3 foot drop down, so it's not like you're on like a cliffside. But you've come through the woods and you've actually found a road. On the other side of the road is more forest. You look to your left, mist. Look to your right, mist. This is the first time you've seen something that is definitively different.
That we know of.
That you know of.
I would like to be canonically hugging Bandit and petting him.
Duke would be leading the charge because, you know, reasons.
Sure. Duke can go ahead and lead the charge. Which direction are you picking?
I would consult the group because we don't know where we're at. So I would turn to the group. Which way should we take? Chance the fog, chance the forest.
I feel like we have had enough of the forest.
we should follow Fair the enough. Road. Follow the thing that people have made.
Okay.
Yeah, we should take the road. The roads lead to civilization.
Okay. So the entire group agrees you guys are going to take the roads. Again, you're walking through the mists. You still feel bad, but you're starting to kind of slowly get used to it. You're not quite as sore as you were this morning, all things considered. A few of you are sore, but in different ways right now, due to leg, chest, or arm that has been bitten and or raked. And as you're walking along, after probably about half an hour of walking, you hear like the telltale signs of what you recognize as like a horse and carriage. Not really a carriage, just like the clopping sounds of horse hooves and what sounds like wheels moving along like dirt and stone. Like you, it's a telltale sign. You know you've heard that before, and it's coming up from behind you slowly. It's not like running like a bat out of hell after you guys. It's slowly approaching you. What do you do?
I would stand at the ready, sword and shield out, just in case.
Okay.
Everything we've encountered besides the group has been hostile, so let's see. What?
Yeah, no, that's I think that's perfectly understandable.
I want to hide behind a bush.
You hide behind a bush. Okay.
Halt! Who are you?
anybody? As what you can now tell to be a mule drawn wagon approaches you, you see a singular man, dark skin, human, wearing what is really easy, best analog to describe it as, picture, stereotypical, prototypical, like outfit that a person of Roma descent would wear. Very bohemian in nature, very kind of long flowing outfits, very well ornate. And he has a small lantern that he's just kind of hanging out in front of the mules. And as Duke calls out to him, he stops the wagon, and he lifts up his lantern and kind of points it out. And then he pulls it back, and you see him, he's fumbling around in his shirt or something, and he whips out a small pair of spectacles and like a small little notebook, and he says, are you Ember, Duke, Constance, Roxar, and Mortimer?
Who's asking?
I was told I need to come pick you up.
Well, right now we would absolutely love a ride.
I think I stand up completely behind the bush and be like, what the fuck? How do you know our names?
Madam Ava told me that I needed to come collect you. She said that you have a meeting with her or something like that.
I look around. I know sorry, not who? Of this woman.
Her name's Madam Ava. Look, I mean, I know this is probably really weird for outsiders such as yourselves. She can explain it a whole lot better than I can. I'm really just the messenger at this point. I can give you a ride to her if you want.
Does he look... He doesn't look that threatening, does he?
You don't even see a weapon at his side. You don't know if there may be one in his wagon, but you can just take like a discerning look as I imagine you've kind of closed some of the distance to him at this point. You don't see like a weapon at his hip or anything.
So it's like a small, like... Average.
Yeah, average build, average height, just a very average human for all intents
and purposes.
Well,
Duke at this point would sheath his sword and put his shield on his back, and, you know, he trusts him now. He knows he can, he knows he doesn't call. If he tried to challenge him, he would be no match
right.
in his mind.
Okay, what about the rest of you? How are all of you feeling about this?
Not great, but I would follow.
Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, given my situation, I think I'm looking for answers. I'm looking for anything that makes sense. And I feel like this is an avenue that's going to allow me to sort of piece everything together.
All right. So you're going to hop in.
As we're getting in, I would request that we learn more about this Madam Ava.
Well, I mean, it's really hard to explain, you see, and you know, I'm not supposed to say too much. She really just said to bring you to her.
How are we to trust you if you cannot give us information?
Look, I mean, by the looks of you, you all got pretty hurt out there in the woods. You could walk if you don't want to trust me.
I'm sorry about my gruff friend here, but what's your name?
My name is Stanmere.
Stanmere. Hello, my name's Mort. Do you live here?
Well, live is kind of an interesting word. We Vistani like to kind of roam around, you see. We never stay in we never stick roots down for very long in one place. But I think it's safe to say Barovia in general is home.
Barovia, okay. Have we heard this word before, Josh?
Absolutely not.
Here, and I kind of like gesture largely with my fingers. This is Barovia.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Never heard of this place.
Yeah, and you can tell he's like he's not like a man of few words, mm-hmm. really. It's very obvious as you talk to him. But so we know Mortimer, Connie, and Duke were hopping in the wagon. Roxar, are you also going to go ahead and hop in?
Yeah, I'm gonna hop in with this lover of them French fried potatoes.
okay.
Can I see Roxar's wounds? Is like they're visible?
Roxar, you don't have any armor or anything like that on, do you?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely nude.
Oh, so, oh my goodness. Doesn't have to get so sexy in here. So yeah, you see just a massive gash across Roxar's chest. Very visible, very nasty and painful looking.
Roxar, would you like me to help with that? And I may be able to relieve some of the pain.
I mean, if you can relieve my pain, please.
Pat, why is it so sexy?
Everything Roxar does is sexy.
That's true.
It's canon.
Can't argue with that.
I will use Lay on Hands, and I am going to touch Roxar.
Oh.
Mm, lay your hands upon me.
On the shoulders.
how long of a ride is it?
It shouldn't be too long, probably. I mean, it's a bit of a ways. Maybe about an hour or so. You guys,
I'm going to sleep. Wake me up when we get there.
I got an 8.
You got an 8. So they are healed, but the damage that you have healed is then transferred to you, Duke.
And then I roll a 1d8 to find out what that is.
Whoa.
That's an 8.
8? All right, so you heal 8 damage from Roxar, but you take 8 damage.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you can. Your tunic. You can tell, like, as you, the wounds on Roxar close up mostly, not entirely, but mostly. You feel similar gashes open up on your chest, and you feel blood kind of seeping through your tunic.
I cough a little. How does that feel?
I feel great, but it looks like you kind of fucked that up, mate.
It's fine, it's fine. It happens from time to time. I'll live.
So you guys ride along, and you continue along these misty roads of the strange land that you found yourselves in the back. And you're now in the back of Stanmir's wagon. You've had a very odd morning as you've been attacked by direwolves, woken up in an unfamiliar place, and now you're in a man's wagon.
Mm-hmm. Typical Thursday.
Thursday. He answers, you know, some of your initial questions, but your driver doesn't really say much. He mumbles to himself here and there, like really below his breath. Doesn't sound like it's angry, just kind of talking to himself a little bit. It's unusual, but give simple answers to any direct questions you ask, mm-hmm. but really nothing more than really just the baseline, what he considers, I guess, necessary to talk about. Eventually, you guys give up on trying to pull conversation from him and resign yourselves to small talk with one another. And eventually, too, you give up on that and resign yourselves to finishing out the ride in relative silence. After a while, you guys begin to realize just how quiet your surroundings are. This is the first time you've really been able to sit and take in your surroundings, where you really are right now, without an immediate threat bearing down on you. The droning sounds of cicadas, bird calls, wind rustling through grass and trees, like typical traveling sounds that you would come to expect, you hear none of that. Hmm. It's so quiet. The only thing accompanying you right now is the sound of the wheels of your wagon just crunching on the dirt beneath you. Just that dull crunch, moaning from the mules every once in a while, the creaking of the wagon itself, and that's it.
What's the temperature like? What's the weather? I mean, obviously it seems overcast, right? Is that correct, or has it cleared?
It is overcast. Okay. It is very clearly daytime right now, but there is no sun that you can tell, as far as you can see. I would say it is probably in the 60s, slightly humid because of the mist, but not, honestly, it's like a good Sacramento day. Not too hot, not too cold. You can go out, wear a nice jacket in the morning, maybe take it off by the afternoon.
Gotcha.
Not it's, for all intents and purposes, that's the one thing where it's like, okay, this is pretty comfortable.
Got it. A very difficult weather to dress for, but a wonderful weather to be in once you're there.
Yeah. After you guys ride for a little over an hour, you estimate, you find yourself on the outskirts of a small town, or what appears to be the remains of one. You breathe a quick sigh of relief that, yeah, okay, civilization does exist here. That relief is quickly extinguished, though, as you get that familiar creeping dread you felt since you first woke up. Many of the houses in this place are in quick disrepair, and it's the same silence that you kind of felt on the road. You're not really hearing the typical sounds of a town in here. No blacksmith off on the other side of town working on weapons and armor. No, you know, conversation coming from the house. No laughter, no crying, just more silence.
Do you see any people?
If you wanted to make a discern reality.
Aha!
Also, what I am going to say, now that you've had about an hour to sit in peace, I think that's enough time for you to breathe, calm down a bit, and you can go ahead and clear your conditions.
Okay,
you're no longer confused and shaky.
I got
a five.
Is it like a short rest?
You got a five.
Oh, I guess I got a six if I have cleared my confused condition.
Okay, go ahead and mark experience.
Which also doesn't get me anything.
I'm going to go ahead and say, go ahead and put confused right back up on the board, my friend.
Sure. Do I heal any of this character?
I'm going to level up in no time.
I know, Matthew's going to be level 22.
If I'll still fail on my
Now, what I will go ahead and say is you think you do catch out of your eye... Is that maybe a candle lit in one of the houses? You don't know, though. You can't really tell or see anything. As you pass through this town, you actually do see a little bit of activity in what appears to be like a tavern on the corner. And it's like, okay, this is a functional tavern. You see a couple guys out on the patio smoking a pipe and talking quietly. It's like, okay, well, apparently people live in this town.
Right.
But this is the only first, like, real, like, definitive, like, okay, there are people here. I see person across the way there. But you end up passing them by, and you, just as you enter town, you end up passing out through the other side.
Wait. We're not stopping here? What?
Not here, no. Madame Maeve is just, like, another 10, 15 minutes up the road here.
Tavern. Okay.
So as did anybody else want to ask anything as you're either passing through or just leaving?
What happened here?
To be honest, this is pretty typical.
How do people live here?
How do people live anywhere? They just do their best.
But why here? Why not go somewhere clear?
He gives a loud snort and doesn't respond.
Do you know the town car? Palor's Hope?
Yeah, those sound pretty familiar.
Okay, that's good.
I've never been to Palor's Hope myself, but, you know, we've traveled through there for trading before.
So have you left this mist or what have you?
We have.
Okay.
let's get you to meet with Madame Ava. So he continues driving along, and again, like he said, about another 10-15 minutes later, for the first time you hear something that is not the wagon creaking and groaning or the sound of wheels on dirt. You hear the faint sounds of an accordion playing.
Okay.
You
the
round
worst
over
instrument. Thank you.
It's actually quite beautiful, if I must say.
It's not. It's no hurdy-gurdy.
In my head, it's yeah. It's in my head. It's just beautiful. It's a symphony.
I would say. Okay, I love being it. Drowned out by Duke, you know, talking to them about Torm and you know how wonderful it was to fight by his side and how they should follow him. You know, spreading the word, the great word.
So as you get closer, you can actually see, okay, there's people here. You see more people that are dressed very similarly to your driver, Stanmere, very Roma or Bohemian inspired, long flowing outfits, very colorful, lots of jewelry. You see a lot of bandanas and things like that. Again, when you think stereotypical Bohemian, it is like that, like Esmeralda from Hunchback of Notre Dame, very much so that style.
Gotcha.
And Stanmere pulls up and, you know, a few of the people that are in the camp kind of turn their heads and look at you. A couple of them raise their drinks or, you know, kind of tip their hats at you. And they just kind of go back to what they're doing.
I raise my flask at them.
Madame Ava's right through here. And he's kind of like disembarking and grabbing his bag and kind of making off towards what is very clearly the largest and most ornate tent of the bunch.
are we supposed to follow him?
I would think not. It's a giant castle, right? Or is it just a tent?
No, it's not. It's just a tent. And
oh, okay. Yeah. I guess we should.
Everybody does follow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He opens up the flap and he just says, all right, I guess just be on your best behavior. And good luck.
Good.
And as you enter the tent... As you enter the tent, he drops the flap behind you, and you are greeted by a very, very, very small and slight halfling woman with just, again, beautiful, ornate outfit. She has jewelry, just kind of, you know, her ears are full of earrings, uh-huh. Rings lining all of her fingers. Her hair is kind of done up, and she has jewelry through her hair, and she has big Coke bottle glasses. It's like the big ones that kind of magnify her eyes. And she say, oh, good, you are here. It's so good to see you. I've been waiting. Yes, please, come sit. And who would be the first one walking through this door?
Duke.
She grabs your hand, Duke, and she, again, this woman comes up to your knees, practically. And she's like, yes, please come sit. I just finished brewing the tea. It is delicious. I made it with elderberries and fresh honey. You will love it. Yes, please, everybody, come sit. I've been waiting for so long.
Who are you?
I actually think we should probably cut it there about, right?
No, yeah, I think
tell
so.
Us who it is.
That's a good one.
Who is it? What's happening? It's not safe.
It's a secret.
I'm realities. Who is it?
Josh, thank you for DMing. And I'm sure next episode we will know better how to play Dungeon World. But I feel like we got back into it like a sock. To the extent that it's really just aiding our role play in that we're in confusing Mist Dome. So that really our just confusion about the system is just us acting, obviously. We do all sorts of fun things over at geeklyinc.com. You can follow it there. It's a website. But to find out the best stuff from each of us, it's probably Twitter. Maybe is the best place. You can find me on Twitter at Tim Lanning.
I'm at Matthew M. Morris.
I'm at Punk 1290.
I'm at JW Scalf.
I'm at the Subpar Hojo.
It's weird when Neek is not here or someone else because I'm not used to going second.
Jennifer's at Jennifer Cheek.
Jennifer's at Jennifer Cheek, and I think she's downstairs helping a coworker. You will be releasing episodes every other week or so. Matthew, did you want to try to do the Nika outro, or are we?
It's too late to come to GeeklyCon because it already happened. But guess
what?
There'll probably be another one next year, except for that one thing that happened this year.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's not going to happen again.
Oh, that was
don't
wild.
Worry about it.
Never going to happen. Oh, the Greetings Adventurers podcast is doing a live show during Dragon Con. It's not technically at Dragon Con. You'll hear us talk about that. And there's all sorts of other cool shit. Thank you so much for listening.
I can't believe Tim let me throw him through the
That was random.
That was random.
That was random.
Yeah, super random.